So, what do you want to talk about? Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Days ago. I mean, if we're going to be actually mathing it correctly, it would be more like 153 days ago. I decided to take a hiatus from podcasting and WrestleLetic Radio as a whole. I talked to Ricky, our esteemed general manager of WrestleLetic Radio, and told him I need to take some time away from WrestleLetic Radio and podcasting in general. I had just finished the Labor Day Extravaganza episode, which, if you have not checked out yet, please do go do so. And I was doing it on the premise of taking time for myself and to enjoy life in Colorado. What proceeded to happen was me basically living the gimmick of Mr. YLP. For 153 days. But living the gimmick is not for everyone, especially not for me. And I'd become someone that I didn't know, who I knew I wasn't, and it affected myself and those around me. I'm not going to fully get into it because that is my business to take care of and not yours. I take full responsibility for what I had done. For all intents and purposes, and excuse my French if there are any kids in the room, but I was being a fucking asshole. Completely. Fully. Unequivocally and undoubtedly. I had become a complete and utter asshole. And it took me to a very, very dark place. One that has affected a lot of things in my life. And as a whole, I dug a hole that I almost could not get out of. Since episode 349 of the YLP podcast, I've begun to go to therapy. I have begun to go to CODA meetings. For those of you who may not know, it's Codependence Anonymous. And we'll be continuing to look for Al-Anon meetings. I lost myself into being something completely opposite of who I was. And who I am as a human being, period. And it was mainly over the fact that I had been dependent on people to take care of me. Even though I just turned 35 years old. And I'm not gonna be coming on here to beat myself up. There's no need for that. I know what I've done. I know exactly what I've done. I've harmed people. Not physically or anything like that. But I've harmed people. The term hurt people, comes to mind. I was seeking out validation from everyone else that I had forgotten to give myself validation, credit, grace, and had become undisciplined and terribly unfocused on the task at hand. It really, really did a number on a lot of things. On a whole lot of things. Things I won't discuss on here because that's my business to take care of. But I sit here today thinking a lot differently than I did 153 days ago. Feeling differently than I did 153 days ago. It has been quite treacherous. And very hard to come to terms with a lot of things. A whole shit ton of things. It's one of those things you don't realize you've done until the chaos has already ensued. The entire world's on fire. And you completely blacked out and came to and realized you were the one that caused it. I feel guilt and I feel shame. But the one thing I'm beginning to learn is being humble. I'm not always right. Not always the smartest person in the room. Know the hurt I've put on people throughout my entire life, not even just being a podcaster, throughout my entire life. There's a lot of things that I did not know, a lot of things I had to begin to actually lean into and find out. A lot of things with my family, mainly my father. And I couldn't accept the reality of the life I had imagined, that it was not to be. feel every ounce of guilt for what I have done. I do. And just because I'm saying it out loud doesn't mean I don't feel any guilt whatsoever or weight off my shoulders. Have a lot of work to do moving forward. A shit ton of work to do. And I know that to be true. I want every single one of you listening to this episode right now to hold me as much as hold me as accountable as I'm going to have to hold myself and everyone else around me. Because I have to accept the reality of that. What I had done to hurt a lot of people. What I didn't lean into and uncover. Hurt a lot of people. My resistance to change hurt a lot of people. And I have to live with that. And accept that every day. Moving forward. I have to repair a lot of shit in my life. And to be able to pull myself to come on here and be able to express that to all of you is one of the first few steps. It is going to be a very long process, and I understand that. But it's worth it. To myself, my family, my friends, Ms. YLP, Mr. YLP Jr., to my niece, Gianna, to my mother, and my grandmother, and my twin sister. It's truly worth it to do the work that I'm about to do. Or should I say, have begun to do. But as long as you ride with me, I'll ride with you. I don't expect the entire world to come back in droves. I understand that. It's been 5 months. Excuse me. But that's what it's going to be. Moving forward. The Mr. YLP you know prior to this week's episode is dead. That's not to say I ain't going to come with the same ferocity. It's not going to say I'm not going to come back with the same smart aleck marks that I normally do. I am still the Stephen A. Smith of professional wrestling podcasting, last time I checked. But it is going to be in a much, much more different light than what you've been used to. And if that is not your cup of tea, shot of whiskey or gin, I understand, and you may take your leave. But moving forward, it'll still be the YLP podcast. It will still be Mr. YLP. But it will not be the Mr. YLP of old. I just turned 35. 4 days ago, as of this recording. It's time to start fucking acting like it. As we turn a new chapter of the YLP podcast. First and foremost, Happy New Year. Hope your New Year's was well. And hope you're ringing in with those you love and care about. A lot has happened since I went into the hyperbolic time chamber. Well, not everything. Roman Reigns is still champion. Bless. But a lot has happened in the world of professional wrestling. It's kind of like the paparazzi or the mainstream media, or as I call it, the corporate media. A lot changes in 5 months. The landscape is completely different than what it was when I left. I mean, Clash at the Castle. Oh my god. Holy shit. Now, if you do think in your brain that I've been watching wrestling and kept up with the product, you'd be absolutely fucking wrong. You'd be absolutely wrong. I basically kind of just walked away from it for a while. Can't really focus on wrestling if you're dealing with your own bullshit. Or not. But that's not to say I didn't keep up with the product as a whole. I mean, yes, we kind of figured Cody Rhodes was going to win the Rumble. Easy peasy. Maybe didn't think, you know, Sami would screw over Kevin Owens at Survivor Series War Games. Which, by the way, fun fucking matches. Very fun. Good show. For the most part. We never thought Jey Uso would accept Sami into the Bloodline. That was cool. Didn't really care much for NXT, AEW. I just shut it down. Completely shut it down. I thought to say I wouldn't get back into it, but right now it's just taking the steps to get back into the focus that I had 154 days ago. September 4th, 2022. Also was able to spend time with family while I was gone. Surprised my mother and my family for my niece's Sweet 16. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done, if we're being truly honest with ourselves and each other, as I stated earlier, the Mr. YLP you knew and loved is dead. Well, it will be when I get my hands on him. Because that man ruined a lot of things for Zachary. A shit ton of things for Zachary Rosiga. And that man is dead. The gimmick is dead. Mr. YLP, from here on out, is going to, as you'll notice, would be a more humble man. A very humble man. Because being Mr. YLP 1.0 does nothing for where I want to go as a person. I want to apologize to WrestleTic Radio, to Ricky, Willie T, Kay Murphy, and I still want to know where that Legends contract goes down. But Kay, I wish you the best in your promotion moving forward. Congratulations on that. KOTR isn't going to be the same without you. Let that be known. To Fretz, to Nate, Mance even. Shout out to Mance, by the way. Hope you're doing well. To my family. Most importantly, my mother, my grandmother, and my twin sister. To my friends. But most importantly, Miss YLP. I am truly, truly sorry. And with that being said, let us begin.
What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling with Issues Podcast here. Welcome to episode 350 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this Saturday. Well, technically, it's Thursday, but I'm recording it, so we're going to act like it's Saturday anyway. It's perfectly fine. Don't worry about it. So glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday. Whenever you listen to this, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening. Wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world! Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. 154 days. When you honestly think about that in terms of title reigns, I'm actually going to look this up right now. We're looking at WWE Championship history. Because the time I have been in the hyperbolic time chamber has been longer than a lot of championship reigns in WWE history. And we're being honestly honest here. This is like not bullshit. There's a my time away has literally been longer than the title reign of Buddy Rogers, the first WWF champion. Ivan Koloff, Stan Stasiak, Antonio Inoki, the Iron Sheik, Ted DiBiase, Sergeant Slaughter, Ric Flair, Randy Savage, Ric Flair, the second ring, Yokozuna, Hulk Hogan, Bret Hart, his third title reign, Psycho Sid's first title reign, Shawn Michaels' second title reign, Psycho Sid's second title reign, Bret's fourth WWE title reign, The Undertaker's title reign when he won at WrestleMania 13, Bret Hart's 5th, Shawn Michaels 3rd, Stone Cold's 1st, Stone Cold's 2nd, The Rock, Mankind, The Rock's 2nd reign, Mankind's 2nd reign, The Rock's 3rd reign, Stone Cold's 3rd reign, The Undertaker's 3rd reign. You get the point. Been away longer than Triple H and Big Show's 2nd and 1st title reigns combined. Triple H's 3rd, actually. Yeah, you get the point. I've been away. But there wasn't a day where I knew I would come back. And today is that day. Why? Because a certain Royal Rumble happened last weekend. And I figured I would talk about it. Because it's the Royal Rumble. Why wouldn't you want to talk about it? A week removed, of course. But I perfectly understand everybody had the jump on me. And that's par for the course. But. Royal Rumble is something near and dear to my heart. Granted, it was the day before my 35th. And usually I know it's my birthday, given the fact that the Royal Rumble season was coming around. This Royal Rumble in particular that we're going to discuss today, and this is all about the Rumble. This go-around was kind of mid, if we're being brutally honest. As we look at it as an overall whole, Royal Rumble 2023 was actually quite mid. That's not to say it didn't have its moments. It didn't have it. I mean, we had one in particular, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. It had its moments. We saw the rise of Gunther, the Iron Man, in this matchup, runner-up of this year's Royal Rumble. Johnny Gargano was in it this year. Quite nice. Karrion Kross pretty much got shit on again. Hooray. But they did set up a lot of things as we go into WrestleMania season. You know, the Mysterio angle in the middle of the match, which was, and if they play that the right way, Dominic and Rey will happen at WrestleMania. A year too late, personally, but happening nonetheless. Also, Seth Rollins and Logan Paul might be going down, more than likely, which is quite surprising. Very, very surprising. But you know what? Worth it. But the men's match as a whole was, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's one of those things where you're just looking at it and you're just like, I can see why now, why it opened the show. Because it did. But it left a lot to be desired. You know, where were the NXT boys? Where was Bron Breakker? Where was Carmelo Hayes? Where was Grayson Waller, Cameron Grimes? Anyone from the Black and Gold brand? Nowhere to be found. The only return, technically, was Booker T. And Mans was only been there for 42 seconds. Doesn't seem like a 5-star performance, don't you think? For the most part, men's Royal Rumble was eh. Cody was the right person to win, although I'm sure there were plenty of people who considered Sami Zayn to take the dub, and in Blompier looking at you. But at least he did recognize more than likely that won't happen. And nor should it be. You know what I mean? Let's keep it real. We ain't here just to talk about the Royal Rumble matches. There was one thing in particular that happened
towards the end of the show that we had been waiting for quite some time, especially given the fact that one Sammy Uso was feeling all kinds of oozy that night and was able to finally do what we hoped. Well, not necessarily me in particular, but what many people were very pleased with. Now, granted, Reigns, of course, did defeat Owens to retain the WWE Undisputed Universal Champion, or the Championship, or whatever the fuck they're calling it nowadays. But after the match is what really left everyone in awe. Of course, the Bloodline get out some handcuffs, handcuff Owens to the ropes. Beat the living shit out of him. Roman Reigns then grabs a chair, goes to beat the hell out of Owens, and Sammy stops him. Roman giving him that look of just like, you gonna move out the way so I can handle my business? Zayn pretty much tells him, this is beneath you. This is beneath you. You are the tribal chief. You're the head of the table. This is beneath you. This, you don't need to be doing this. And Roman comes to terms with that and realizes you're right. And he extends the chair out to Sammy. Well, I am beneath this, but you're not. Sammy's now in a position. Beat his storyline former best friend. And continue to prove his loyalty to the Bloodline. Instead, Mans takes that and, if you remember the Shield breakup, same scenario. But instead of Seth Rollins, it was Sami Zayn. Hits Roman in the back. Immediately drops the chair, looks to Jay and says, I'm sorry. And gets clapped with a super kick from Jimmy. Solo then hits the Samoan, I don't even know what the hell they're calling it on, honestly. I really don't know. Samoan Spike. Lays out Sammy. We then see a shot of Jay feeling conflicted. And I've seen it play a little bit on Twitter, kind of. Not like, kind of like scenarios in which Jay is the protagonist in all of this. Jay becomes the protagonist. All along, Jay was the protagonist of the story of the Bloodline. Think of it. In that particular moment, where we see Sammy catch a beatdown from Roman, Solo, and Jimmy, Jay now sees exactly what had gone on. Jay realized what had been done to Sammy had been done to him prior. Remember, at the beginning of the storyline of the Bloodline 2 years ago, Jay was Sammy. Jay was in the position of Sammy. But he wasn't an honorary Uso, because he was an Uso, and still is. But Jada saw it unfold right in front of him. Right before his very eyes. He realizes what Roman was doing to Sammy, he was doing to me. And the shot, and the facial expression on Jay's face said it all. He was conflicted. And he leaves the ring. At the end of the night, Roman said to Solo, we are at war. We take no prisoners. I mean, fuck you, Roman chants went out throughout the entire arena. Reigns proceeded to drop the lay pedals on Zayn before he left. And we have that shot of Sami Zayn laid out, Kevin Owens handcuffed to the ropes. And now we move on. What a moment. What an absolute legendary moment. Because now we have hit our apex. We have now hit our climax of the movie of the Bloodline. Now, as much as I would love to see a Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns WrestleMania matchup for the Universal Championship, that will take place at the Elimination Chamber. The WWE Undisputed Universal Championship, whatever the fuck they're calling it. And that's going to take place in Montreal. Now, we know Sammy will not be winning the WWE, but Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, whatever you want to call it. You bring it now to an even bigger moment for Sammy. Because, again, as much as we would love to see Zayn versus Reigns for the Universal Championship and become the face of the company, even though Triple H and Vince don't seem to think he is, although he was at one point the face of NXT, the hope now, going forward in the WrestleMania season, is that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn do come back together. They're best friends in real life, and they might as well be best friends going into a possible, hopefully, Undisputed Tag Team Championship match with the Usos. Because I think that is more of an important moment than Zayn beating Reigns, as much as I would love to see it at WrestleMania. I think the crowd would go bananas for that. It would feel like a Daniel Bryan moment at WrestleMania 30. Everything WWE did in terms of this moment, in terms of this finally happening, because I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I thought it would happen in Elimination Chamber, where Zayn, and this is just what I had in my head, Zayn wins a number one contenders match, becomes a number one contender for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Reigns likes it, he loves it. But when the match happens, Zayn doesn't lay down. Reigns pretty much like just tells him, lay down for the good of the Bloodline. I think Murph's YT13 had a similar concept in one of his YouTube videos. But Zayn doesn't lay down. Reigns gets angry. Beats the living hell out of him. Which will lead to a disqualification, in which Reigns retains the championship. At this point, honestly, all bets are off. But this storyline now, and I'm going to say this honestly because I was thinking about it at work today. This has been the most compelling storyline WWE has done in the last decade. Seriously, the last decade. This has just been a very fruitful storyline. So many layers are within this story. Roman Reigns turning heel back in 2021. Becomes the Universal Champion in that three-way match between Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt.
But then we saw the storyline develop. And yes, I'm going to go ahead and give Vince McMahon some credit here, because before the entire scandal hit last year, Vince McMahon was making decent television, albeit during a pandemic. And Roman Reigns building up the bloodline, bringing in the Usos, the match with Jey Uso and the Hell in a Cell. Jimmy finally understanding and acknowledging Roman, which made the Usos much bigger heels, and wonderfully so. Solo Sikoa debuts. Sami Zayn then joins the fray. And then we see that part develop. With Sami being finally accepted into the bloodline after Survivor Series War Games. This main event will be more remembered. And don't get me wrong, the match was actually solid. For a main event match and a big four pay-per-view, it was solid. It's just one of those stories that, when done correctly, lead to results like this. I was watching Pat McAfee show's segment with Michael Cole, and they were talking about, you know, him coming out, surprising everyone, and the numbers for it. This is how much you knew of Royal Rumble was anticipated. Largest gate in history for Royal Rumble. Most viewed Royal Rumble in history. Excuse me. With viewership up 50% from last year. Triple H's first foray into the Royal Rumble was fantastic within that moment. And as we move forward towards WrestleMania in April, I have a good feeling that Triple H is going to take this to the nth degree now that Cody Rhodes has won the Rumble, and rightfully so. Cody Rhodes winning the Rumble made all the sense in the world. It really did, and we all kind of had a good feeling that when he got injured with his torn pectoral muscle, did the match after at Hell in a Cell, got it all taken care of, and they made the announcement that Cody Rhodes was going to be in the Rumble. Now, personally, one little thing, I wouldn't have put him at 30, personally. I wouldn't even have been announced it, to be brutally honest. Let the rumors be starting, because everyone at that point will start thinking, when is Cody coming? And there's a lot of YouTubers and people saying he should have been at number one. If you were going to have him do a big return, let him start at one. We didn't, but Gunther and Sheamus did. And oh my God. They never ceased to amaze me. And by the way, their Magic Class in the Castle was actually, if I had done a top 10, easily would have been in top 5. Probably top 3. For 2023 matches of the year. Hands down, that match was just brilliant. Absolute brilliant. An absolute banger. It's one of those things where you just gotta appreciate it. As one well should. But seeing Gunther be in not only the final four, but the final two of this matchup, I think everyone should really start taking notice on Gunther. That's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. You don't have a man break the all-time spent in a Royal Rumble record by 9 minutes and not think of him as a big fucking deal for 2023. Because, should Gunther lose the IC Championship at WrestleMania to whoever they decide to put in front of him, Gunther versus Cody Rhodes sounds like a damn good SummerSlam main event, don't you? Just throwing it out there. Throwing it out there, you know.
And I think that's something that we should kind of get an idea of, maybe, if they decide to keep the WWE, Undisputed WWE Universal Championship in tow moving forward. I think that's something we can kind of begin to fantasy book in our heads with that. But overall, right brand won in the Men's Royal Rumble. A lot of good moments in this. Of course, Edge coming back, going after the Judgment Day, which honestly I'm kind of starting to get over. But I guess if they want to do it at WrestleMania and fully end it, perfectly fine with me. If you want to tie up those loose ends, it's okay. I didn't need to see tag teams in here. You could have replaced those with NXT guys. Fill up the holes a little bit. I didn't need to see Braun Strowman and Ricochet in the match. I didn't even think Logan Paul was going to be 29, to be brutally honest. I mean, statistically, Braun Strowman was in the spot to win the Royal Rumble, and that didn't work out for anybody or everybody. So we are thankful for that. Logan Paul elimination of Seth freaking Rollins, great. Sets that up for WrestleMania, in which that's going to be fun. That is gonna actually it's going to be a fun match. When you look at it on paper, Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins actually makes a lot of sense because what were you going to do with Seth at WrestleMania anyway? Logan Paul sounds like actually a good choice, and given the fact that he faced Roman, and from what I had heard, was a great matchup. Seen a couple of highlights, it was very nice. The one at the top, turnbuckle to the outside, was wicked. It was damn good. I appreciate that. But the Mysterio deal is what I enjoyed the most. Besides Cody winning. Because last year was actually the perfect time for the Mysterio versus Mysterio match from Rey versus Dominic. Why they didn't pull the trigger last year, I don't know. Nor am I even going to bother trying to speculate. The past is the past. Focus on now. Dominic versus Rey at WrestleMania, personally, should be the retirement match of Rey Mysterio if you wanted to go that route. We'll have to see. But overall, the Men's Rumble match was quite mid. Nothing really of substance on there, to be honest. And thankfully, it started the show first, which was great. The middle bit, the Pitch Black match and the Raw Women's Championship match were just nah for me. Just absolute mm-mm. Mm-mm. And in between eating a humongo pretzel with Ms. YLP at David Buster's, I'm thinking to myself, this match wasn't it. I mean, all you're basically doing was pitching soda at that point. We're pitching soda and having a rave in the ring with Bray Wyatt with paint and LA Knight with very, very glowy gear. Thank goodness it was only 5 minutes. And that match is as forgettable as your dog taking a shit. You know it's gonna happen, but yet you know it's there. The Raw Women's Championship, nothing to be desired. Less than 8 minutes. Nothing really good about this at all. That match was easily reserved for Raw. 100% reserved for Raw. And they should have left it there, to be truthful. When we get now getting into the women's rumble, I enjoyed this match thoroughly. Why? We had NXT talent, and we had a good mix of SmackDown and Raw talent. We even had a Michelle McCool appearance. Chelsea Green returned and broke the record for shortest time in a Royal Rumble period. A lot of decent spots here. A lot of decent spots. Nia Jax, why? Just why? Why was she there? At 30, nonetheless.
Wasted moment. Wasted. But they got her out of there in 2 minutes. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We don't know if she's returned. We don't know if, you know, it was just a one-off type deal. But as Stephen A. Smith always would say, I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care. That was a wasted moment. That was a wasted 30. That was honestly a wasted 30. It really took the air out of the crowd in that moment. For Nia Jax to be 30. Whoever thought of that, not good. Not a good idea. Just not the best of ideas. But like I said, there's a lot of good spots. Lots of good spots in this matchup. I mean, there were a couple things that were good. Of course, damage control, handling business, eliminating Becky Lynch, continuing that feud. Pretty much, like, damage control did a lot of damage. Pardon the pun. Excuse me. Eliminating Dana Brooke, eliminating Emma, Shayna Baszler, Roxanne Perez, Natalya. Good stuff. Good stuff about damage control. I really like the fact that Triple H really is investing in them and really making them into something, even though they should have held the Women's Tag Team Championship longer. But we ain't going to talk about that right now. The one big thing I think I took away from this is that there was a lot of, you know, talent in this matchup. A lot of good talent. Some of them stayed in longer, of course. But, you know, Zoe Stark was in there for 26 minutes. Asuka returning as Kana. You love to see it. You really do love to see it. You love to see Asuka come back. And I mean, if you've been on Twitter for more than 5 seconds, especially in the IWC, a lot of people were clamoring for Asuka to do a Kana and bring Kana back into the fold. Under Vince McMahon, we would never have seen that. It would have just been regular Asuka, you know, blah, blah, blah. Asuka is Kana? Man, listen, this was wonderful. This was wonderfully done for Asuka. I think, and I mean, after what was done, I'd seen from Monday Night Raw, it looks as if Belair versus Asuka at WrestleMania may be the move. I'm not saying definitively it is the move, but it leans that way, and that's okay, even though I would have personally loved to see Ripley versus Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. Her choosing Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania 39, the only way it will all make sense is if Rhea gets her win back from Charlotte from the disastrous NXT Champion Women's Championship match at WrestleMania a few years ago. That was a yawn. And we will never, ever bring that up ever again unless we need to. Liv Morgan, runner-up in this year's Royal Rumble. Technically the Iron Woman of the matchup. And, you know, when you are pretty much going to be tabbed for the Iron Man or the Iron Woman spot, that means one thing and one thing only. They see really big things for you. They see something in you to be able for you to allow you to think this person in 2023 is someone we're going to be looking at in the future. Now, if they're leaning towards maybe a Morgan Ripley feud somewhere in 2023, because I'm for sure thinking that Ripley is going to be taking that title away from Flair, and they honestly really need to do a revamp of the women's division on SmackDown, then Liv Morgan's definitely going to be very prominent on the blue brand going forward, unless the draft happens and then Morgan gets sent to Raw. We will see. We will see. But I did enjoy a lot of seeing Roxanne Perez in there, Zoe Stark in there. Who else was in there? Nikki Cross definitely had a little bit of time to shine. That was really good. Raquel Rodriguez, another one, I was just enjoying in there. And Piper Niven, Doudrop is no more. No more Doudrop. We like that. That was not a good name for Piper. And I'm glad to see she did get some time in there. Her and Asuka was in there for like 33 minutes. And Piper was in there for about just a smidge over 28. had a couple moments in that matchup. I was just very pleased with how everything went down. I was pleased. I would have liked to see LeRae and Hartwell have a, you know, have a the waiver union in there, because that just would have made a lot of sense. All unfortunately, Candice only was in there for 5 minutes, which kind of sucks. But there was a lot of good moments in this matchup. A lot of like highlights, a lot of things to take away from. You know, Xia Li about to whoop ass with a stick, and referee was just like, "No, you can't bring that in there." And Xia Li's like, "Ah, yes, I can." That didn't happen. But you know, there's a lot. There's a nice little diversity of talent amongst the three brands, more so than the men's was. What I didn't enjoy is Ripley having the most eliminations with 7. Bayley had 5. Dakota Kai and Io Sky also having 5. In this matchup, really, really good showing. Rhea Ripley, though, was the right choice. I mean, she did, you know, miss out on becoming Royal Rumble winner a couple years ago, but it was nice to see that Ripley actually finally gets her just due, wins the women's Royal Rumble match, and is going to WrestleMania to challenge Charlotte Flair for the women's SmackDown Women's title. Makes all the sense in the world, kinda. Again, as I said before, Belair Ripley would have been a much better money feud. But given the fact that Charlotte Flair is facing a division that's kind of, it made sense for Ripley to challenge Flair. Plus, to get her win back from a couple years ago at WrestleMania for the NXT Women's Championship. Excuse me. It made sense. Would I like to see Ripley take the championship and hopefully one day challenge Belair to unify the championships? Abso-fucking-lutely. Absolutely. Because when you think about it, you know, I think now, with the Women's Royal Rumble, I think WWE, especially now under Triple H, really has a lot more confidence in a lot of the talent that were in this match. I mean, yes, granted, Chelsea Green is back in the fold, and apparently she's a Karen, but we ain't gonna worry about that right now. Not a lot of legends returning, which, surprising, I would like to see Molly Holly in there. And I honestly think she actually was, hopefully, if when we take out the producers list, she was one of the people that were actually one of the producers of this matchup. Because this was actually one of the better, if not the best, Women's Royal Rumble. Period. I think this was a really, really good Rumble. For the ladies. You know, like I said, not a lot of legends coming back. You know, no, honestly, returns. But, hey, NXT talent in there, always in my book, fantastic. And to see Perez and Stark get some shine. And the way they actually did the little storyline with Perez and Damage Control, probably somewhere in the future we're going to think Perez is going to be gunning for Damage Control to get that one back. Time will tell. Right now, she is the women's champion and has a date with the 2/3 of Toxic Attraction, is what I'm going to be calling them going forward, given the fact that Mandy Rose is now gone from WWE because she had some footage on a certain site, which honestly I don't remember, to be brutally honest with y'all, and be able to sell some things. The brass didn't like that. She says, "I'm not taking it down," and now she's gone, which is quite unfortunate because we were hoping for Toxic Attraction to move up to the main roster and wreak havoc on the women's division, at least on SmackDown side, because they honestly needed it. And somewhere down the line, Damage Control and Toxic Attraction would face each other for the women's tag team championships, and I was really, really excited for that. And then it was gone, and it sucks because the women's tag team division needed a Toxic Attraction. To kind of counteract Damage Control. You know, with Bayley, Dakota, and Io on Raw, it would have been nice to have that counteraction of, you know, Mandy Rose, JC Jane, and Gigi Dolin over on SmackDown, wreaking havoc and facing each other for tag team championships. It would have been just really nice. But it's unfortunate that Mandy Rose got released, especially in with her title reign as NXT Women's Champion going. Initially, when she went down to NXT, I thought, okay, she's just going to be another one of the mid-card versions on the women's side, and they made her into a prominent role. And
She came into her own as women's NXT Women's Champion, and she did the damn thing with her reign over 400 days as champion before the whole incident. And then with Roxanne Perez taking the title off of her. So it would have been nice to have all three of them come up onto SmackDown and eventually challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship, albeit with Rhea Ripley and all that. It would have been nice. But I think moving forward for the women's division, the future is bright, especially under Triple H. At Gorilla. Granted, we know Vince McMahon is back and doing some weird shit. Now we know there's like a fourth and a fifth accusation of sexual harassment and assault. Which is absolutely fucking dreadful. For those ladies. It really is. It's fucked up. And still, Vince McMahon has the nerve to come back into the fold and try to sell the company. Whatever story you believe. But the future looks bright for the ladies. I really do think that with Triple H as the head of WWE in terms of creative, I think having him there overseeing the ladies of WWE, I think the start of the, I think they're gonna, it's gonna be a very, very fun 2023 for the women's division if they keep doing it correctly. And leaving Nia Jax out of number 30 next time for 2024. Just going to put that out there. No Nia Jax. Period. Just we all know what happened with Becky a few years ago. Let's not bring that one back, please. Overall, Royal Rumble. Mid. Still mid. Very, very, very mid. Overall as a show. In terms of grade, I'm going to go C+. It was a very, it was so mid. The men's rumble was just, what? the pitch black match and the Raw Women's Championship was just no. But luckily got saved by the Women's Royal Rumble and Roman Reigns versus Kevin Owens for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Quite unfortunate. For the show as a whole, because had there maybe been had those two matches really not been so, it would have gotten a better grade overall. C+, I think, is a solid grade, even though, you know, maybe it could be a little bit higher, maybe B-. But right now, C+, I think, is the way to go for a mid Royal Rumble. In terms of the MVP, it's Gunther. Broke the all-time record for longest time in a Royal Rumble match. 1 hour, 11 minutes, 40 seconds. Impressive. Impressive. Starting from the number one spot and going 71 minutes. You can't get any better than that. You cannot get any better than that. What a performance from Gunther, and I hope his 2023 is everything we all think it's going to be. Because it needs to be. It should be. It just makes all the sense in the world for Gunther to have the kind of 2023 we hope he gets to have. And if that's him holding the Universal Championship and somehow wringing that away from Cody Rhodes, so be it. Because honestly, it's about time we split those titles and bring them back to exactly where they belong. Universal on SmackDown, with the WWE going over to Monday Night Raw, as it should be. But nonetheless, I think Gunther just had a night. What a night. And doing it as the Intercontinental Champion, nonetheless. Very, very good performance by Gunther last Saturday night. And hopefully his 2023 is very fruitful. Worst match of the night will be a tie. Pitch Black match and the Raw Women's Championship just really both back-to-back tore down the show, just brought the show down. And granted, I understand, you know, they're, you know, cool-off matches, bathroom breaks, dead spot, but a double dead spot? That was just nah. It was a letdown. It was quite the letdown. But we can't have all nice things. Match of the night.
Honestly, I gotta say, it's the Women's Royal Rumble. Without question. Roman versus Kevin was great, but I think we're gonna remember that match more for what happened after the match than we're gonna remember the match itself. If we're going by the match itself, Women's Royal Rumble takes top prize as match of the night. It was a really good match. It was really, really well done. I can't say enough about it because there's so many moments that happened within that matchup that you can kind of pinpoint certain parts of the match. Like when Nia Jax went at number 30 and we were all mad. The final three with Rhea, Liv, and Asuka. That was a great final three. But this match overall was just wonderfully done. It was a wonderfully done matchup. And if we're being honest, you know damn well, Women's Royal Rumble ruled. It was a really good one. And I honestly have to say, it is probably the best Royal Rumble that we've seen from the ladies since the first one. Let's be real. It made sense for Rhea to win. Period. And then I have all of the layers that went down. Thumbs up in my book without question. As we go into WrestleMania season, I think this is a good starting point for WWE, depending on certain things. We got a lot of storylines to work with as we go further into WrestleMania season and head towards April 1st and 2nd in Los Angeles for WrestleMania Hollywood. There's a lot to be desired. Becky Lynch versus Bayley. Mysterio versus Mysterio, hopefully. The implosion of the bloodline. The inevitable implosion of the bloodline. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens finally having a moment. And taking the Undisputed Tag Team Championship away from the Usos. There's a lot going into it. There's a lot going into April. We still have Elimination Chamber. And that's going to add another layer into not just Roman and Zayn and Owens, but also with Rhodes. When are Rhodes and Reigns going to get involved? When do we start seeing that for WrestleMania? I wonder. I mean, Austin Theory is going to be defending the U.S. Championship in Elimination Chamber, so I'm going to be curious to see how that goes. Personally, it would be nice to see Bronson Reed win the championship, but hey, you know, we'll figure that out when we get there. Also, Johnny with the Austin Theory, John Cena. That's going to be fun. It's just a lot of layers going as we head into WrestleMania season. A lot of matches are to be determined, especially with given the fact that we have two nights. But seriously, WrestleMania season had started off on the right foot. And I think this is going to be one of the more anticipated WrestleMania seasons the further we go into the year as we head towards April. I think personally, WrestleMania 39 may be one of the better WrestleManias that we have had in quite some time. And that's a good thing. Because Triple H is at the helm. Vince McMahon is out of the way creatively. And the world, as we know it, is much, much safer. Well, I'm not going to usually do my usual outro like I normally do. Like I said, I can get back into the swing of things, so I don't want to go buck wild and forget my outro on the first go. But I want to thank you very much for checking out episode 350 of the YLP podcast, the Semi-Centennial Royal Rumble special. And yes, Semi-Centennial is a word. A long word. It's a word. It means 350th of something. And I'm glad I actually did the way that I did. Chill, calm, proper. proper way to come back into the fold. Again, I want to thank you so much for being patient with me, and I am back. But Mr. Wild P is not. If you have any questions, comments, concerns about today's episode, or any of the other 349 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit me up with a voice message over on anchor.fm/younglionsperspective. You can also find me on Twitter at YLPerspective, over on Instagram at young_lions_perspective. Facebook is still there. I appreciate y'all. And it's good to be back. Till next time. See you.
This has been a Wrestle Attic Radio branded podcast.